This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And just like that, it's Wednesday again, and you're on Bump and Beyond with me, Yolandi Becker, talking about parenting. So a couple of weeks ago, we already started this conversation, but we by far did not finish the conversation. And we talked about preparing for birth. And my guest, the same as last time, is doula Anina Pretorius. And it was a very nice conversation. So if you missed it, I think it's a good intro to today's program. So I would encourage that you go listen to the podcast. It is available on highfm.com. But I want to continue this because it's, again, I mentioned even then that even though the actual birthing process, to be honest, even pregnancy, it's really a blimp in the parenting journey. It's very a short period. When you're in it, it definitely feels like it is everything. It's also very, it can be nice. Obviously, it can also be difficult, both things, pregnancy and birthing. But to be honest, it's something that, and I mean, I'm now already 11, 13 years into it after it's happened. And I can tell you, I can remember it like it was yesterday. And that's why I feel it is an important conversation to have, because it really is. And I mean, I'm now only talking about the actual memory of it. I'm not even talking about the psychology behind it, the impact of birth trauma that it can have on the bonding process with your child. So there's a lot of like rippling effects that can happen if the birthing experience is not what you intended or planned or how it worked out. And again, Anina also, what did you call it, Anina? What was it called? It wasn't a birth plan. It was a...
A preference sheet.
A preference sheet. See, I knew there was a better word for it. Because in the end, you can't really plan for it. But in the same, I can, out of my own experience, tell you that I felt a lot more present and there, and I loved the whole experience the second time around because I had the experience of the first one. Okay. That being said, I do think you do require the first one to have the second one experience. But in the same breath, I don't think I was actually properly prepared for the first one. And I think if you are properly prepared, and maybe even have a doula or someone present there to help keep you present, to be honest, and help you focus on what's happening, I feel that you could actually. And I don't know, Anina, what is your experience? Am I talking here out of my butt?
You're spot on. I want to go back to what you said in the beginning, that it's such a small part of parenthood, but it sets the pace.
Yeah.
So the way in which you feel about your birth is the way in which you start parenting off with. So in that sense, preparation from my perspective is very important, because even though nobody can tell you exactly what you're going to experience and how it's going to play out, knowing what is happening in your body gives you the power to support that and to go into it prepared so that it doesn't catches you off guard.
Yeah.
And when we talk about birth preparation, there are so many levels to it, starting with choosing your birth.
Yeah.
Because something that we failed to acknowledge with the previous talk is that there's not only just vaginal birth, there's surgical birth as well.
Yes, and you can choose to have that, obviously.
And they're equally valid, but there's a different element of preparation when we talk about vaginal birth, because you need to take a little bit more responsibility for what's happening in your body. So there's that mental preparation through which you do research to make the right choices for what you want.
Yeah.
And then choose the right medical care provider for the kind of birth that you want, because in the area that we're in Pretoria, we're spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
You can really have your pick of birth experiences.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're in Katu.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit differently. And then the secondary layers of preparation becomes more important. The physical preparation, obviously, because natural birth or vaginal birth is a physiological process. So you need to stay healthy so that your body has the energy to carry through the whole of pregnancy and also go through labor and birth. with enough energy. Yeah. But then something that's often overlooked is mental emotional preparation.
Yeah.
Because one of the big things that can actually influence the birthing process is an element of fear or anxiety. And who doesn't go into labor and birth with fear and anxiety?
Because no, I mean, even the second time around, even though I had the previous experience, maybe naivety helps the first time.
For some people it does, but yeah. For other people it's not at all.
Yeah, but then the second time around, I was still nervous about it. It's still a huge, big event in your life. How I think it would be psychotic if you're not a little bit nervous.
Yeah, that's a natural thing. Kids, it's a big thing that happens. It's huge intensity that goes through your body that is bringing your baby out of your body into your arms.
Yes.
But if you prepare well and you've got tools to hook onto it, to anchor yourself with during the intensity, the experience becomes more positive.
Yeah. And I mean, now you've spoken about the mental, the physical, the emotional preparation of it. And we're going to talk about this a lot more. But I feel there's even another layer to it, is that there's also a little bit of logistical like preparation. I mean, you've now already mentioned, if you're like, obviously there's a different choice when you're in Pretoria or in a city, preparing for it. But I mean, for me also, I remember, even though I had both times a vaginal birth, the second time around, I do have to say that I went for an induction the second time around. I do think Emmy would have come like at the similar time anyway, but just because the logistics behind having to take care of my son, I was just so nervous that I was again. And what's the most common time for labor?
Early mornings, yes, when it's at its darkest outside.
And that was the thing, is that I had this obviously knowledge in my head that there's a possibility of it happening in the middle of the night. And then my parents had to come from Brits, which was an hour away, come and how are you then? So there was a little bit of a logistical kind of thing that was happening that was for me a little bit trying. And I think also that logistics is maybe also the convenience is maybe what also drives some people to choose a cesarean over, I mean, again, if you're in the middle of nowhere, having to go into labor, you can't wait 2 weeks here in Pretoria. I don't know, maybe you can. I don't know.
Yeah, it's absolutely, logistics make a huge impact, but that's also a part of the mental preparation. You need to tick as many as possible mental boxes before you go into labor in terms of planning your logistics.
Yeah.
Because when we go into labor, the ideal thing is we want to dumb down and chill out. Because if you look at what happens in the body during labor, it's all run through the body. It's nothing to do with mind.
Yeah.
And every time that you need to cognitively think during labor and birth, it's actually interrupting the birthing process, which is something that people don't understand. So you need to logistically tick a lot of mental boxes so that when you go into labor, you have a plan for 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 10 o'clock in the morning, so that you can activate plan B or plan C and then sit back and don't stress about it.
I needed you, Anita. I clearly, clearly needed you.
Okay, because get me to number three then.
OCD mind. I mean, I'm already like dumbed down, stop thinking, and then my mind goes into overdrive. That's like telling someone, don't stress.
No, then that's the only thing that you do.
You need to stress, and then the opposite kind of happens. But again, if you missed a previous conversation, you have to go listen to that podcast as well. We already touched on a lot of things before, you know, like things like when you know that you're going into labor, what's the difference like between a doula and a midwife? Why would you need a doula? So please, I do encourage you to go and listen to the podcast. It is available on hifm.com. So go and listen to it. It is there. But also, I mean, obviously we want you to be part of this conversation. Maybe you can share your own experience of going into labor. Maybe you're the grandparent and you want to help be the assistant during labor, or you were, or just the backup support. Like I said, my parents had to take care of my son, obviously. because my husband had to be there for the actual labor. So in the end, obviously, we do want you to be part of the conversation. So please do send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. And then we can, hear what your birthing experience was like. If you enjoyed it, if you didn't enjoy it, what do you remember? Do you remember it as clearly as me?
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined me, this is 101.9 High FM, and I'm your host, Yolandi Becker. We're talking Bump and Beyond, so parenting. We're talking, and today the start, maybe it's not the exact start, because obviously it starts technically 9 months before. And it's very interesting, because this time of the year, I learned, so obviously September is actually the year of the most births. So the most birthdays is actually in September month, because that's the holiday babies. But November is also quite a popular, it's the second most popular one, apparently because of Valentine's Day in February. Look at that. So people do actually celebrate Valentine's Day. Very nice little useless trivia for you to go share with your friends. We're talking today about preparing for birthing. And this is a second part to a conversation that we already started a couple of weeks ago. So please, you can go listen to the podcast. It was also with my guest today, Anina Pretorius, who is a doula. So she's got really a great amount of experience with birthing and setting people up. And I was now, before we get to that, I actually first want to talk about you as a doula. And because I do feel like if someone else is there who is remaining calm and present, it will actually help to ground you during this time. Is that what your role is? Is it a nice role?
It is. It is definitely a big part of being a doula. We refer to it as holding the space, so being calmly present in the space, especially if it's a first-time birth. People don't know what to expect and what is supposed to happen and what that is happening is not supposed to happen. So if something happens that they're not prepared for, they immediately look at the professional in the room to see what your reaction is.
Yeah.
And if you are calm, then the dad is calm because he's more cognitive during the labor. And that in turn causes mom to be calm and to just allow her body to do what it needs to do. But I previously mentioned as well that I am a bit of a tour guide as well. So if something happens and I see the dad's eyes wide open, what's this? I would reassure them calmly and say, this is beautiful. This is exactly what we want. This is why it's happening. So let's celebrate it and have a baby.
And I mean, it's even with something as silly as my job, helping parents with sleeping better. I always say to parents, that's one of my biggest roles is just to, I've done this before thousands of times. So I know how it should progress and how it should happen. And that is one of the most important roles I have. So I can absolutely see the value, especially during that like really emotionally heightened time of giving birth, that having someone there, and I mean, you do have other people there, but if you actually know the person really well, I think it also, well, maybe not even really well, but if you have someone like that that's grounded and has experienced it a couple of times, I can only see the value in having someone like that there. So I mean, it's also nice. How many babies have you seen being born?
No, I haven't counted since you asked me this last time as well, but it's been a few because I've been doulaing for about 6 or 7 years now, so it's been a while. I want to return to that whole being present in the room thing. When I meet parents beforehand, I say it is important that you meet different doulas and decide who you connect better with, who you really feel very at ease with in your presence.
Yeah.
Because birth is so vulnerable, you need to choose someone that you can absolutely be vulnerable in front of. And then I normally say, mom needs to be comfortable with my presence, but dad needs to like me a little bit because we need to work together.
Yeah.
Because he knows mom and I know birth. So I can't do anything without him in the room properly.
Yeah.
And I'm there to help him support his wife. So it becomes a tag team kind of situation.
I really like that. That's really nice. And again, like I said, it sets it up so nicely. But I mean, again, now when we're talking about the mental and the emotional preparation, you very clearly said that technically you shouldn't be thinking about it. So you want to, I assume what you also mean is that because you also said you have to have a plan A, B, C, D, whatever. So in essence, you want to think about all the things, but I mean, you can't think of everything, I guess, but you want to think about all those logistical things beforehand so that when the time comes, you don't have to think about it. You know, this is what I'm implementing. This is what I'm implementing, or this is what I'm implementing.
Yeah. We want mom to, as soon as possible in labor, to step out of the outside world and just sort of step into a bit of a birth bubble where she's only focused on her body and what her body is doing.
Yeah.
Because labor and birth is such an instinctual process and it's a body process, we want to move away from cognitive thinking, because the moment that you during labor go, what am I supposed to do? Or what is supposed to be happening now? It disrupts the hormones that gets excreted for labor and birth, and it slows the process down. Because we birth with a hind brain, which is the instinctual brain, every time the frontal cortex gets ignited, it interrupts the process. So for that reason, when you go into labor, think all the things you need to think. And then everything that needs to be thought and communicated deeper into labor needs to be outsourced to your husband or your partner and your doula, so that they communicate on your behalf. And they literally just give you instructions on what to do, so that you focus on the messages coming out of your body to tell you what to do. Logistically, also, it's a good idea to have a conversation with your medical care provider so that you know what to expect from the medical side during labor. What are they going to be monitoring? How are they going to do it? What is the procedure like when you get to hospital or to your birthing facility? What can you expect from their side when you start pushing? Where do you want, they want you? What are they going to do? How many people are going to be in the room? So that as many things as possible is foreign to your thinking mind. Because the moment something in your environment changes, the thinking mind kicks in because it needs to keep you safe from lions. And we want to know all of the potential lions before we go into birth, so that we don't have to kick into the thinking mode.
And I mean, that also, that where you were now talking about going, knowing those type of things. And to be honest, it sounds actually so silly, but I mean, that was the only, I have to say, things with my hospital antenatal classes I had that was actually quite beneficial, is that they take you to the labor ward and they show you where you have to go and things like that. And for me, that was actually also quite, even now, I often like when I go race a marathon or whatever, I do like to go pick up my own race number, just because I like to know where the start is, what it looks like, and where I have to go the next day. And I think that's the same thing. So if you're going into that, so that you just can mentally prepare, this is where I'm going, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's a silly thing, and it's an easy thing to do beforehand, ask the questions and inform yourself about these things, because it makes it, like I said, that you can focus on what's important and not worry about having those type of things.
So that you can literally put the frontal brain on the bedside table. And just birth.
I wish I could do that now. I've got like decision fatigue, so I wouldn't mind putting the frontal cortex or whatever.
I've got some techniques that I can help you with doing that. And that actually gets us to the next level of preparation. So when you've got all the thinking ticked off, then you move into the feeling. And what happens in labor is the feelings get overpowering, because the strength and the power of the contraction gets to a point where your mind starts lying to you and telling you that you can't do this. And you need something to convince yourself otherwise, and also something to focus on to distract you from the intensity of the contraction so that you can cope better with it. Because the problem with pain in the brain is that it is sending us signals that something is wrong. And labor and birth is literally the only place where pain is a good message. It's telling you that something's going right, your baby's on its way. And you need to make that mind shift. And while the intensity is happening, you need something like a breathing technique or a visualization technique or a distraction technique to get you through the intensity of the contraction. But the benefit is that between each and every contraction, there's a period of rest in which you can recuperate and just gather yourself for the next intensity. I refer to them as mini holidays. And if you focus on the mini holiday instead of the intensity of the contraction, it's easier to get through the labouring process.
Again, if you've just joined me, you're on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond, and we're talking preparing for birthing, and it's beautiful. And again, we've already spoken about last time about the active birthing process and that you're actually supposed to be pushing when the contractions happen and things like that. So I do encourage that you go listen to that podcast as well. If you've missed this one today, don't worry. It will also be available as podcast. You can watch it. You can listen to it as like a double whammy of preparing for birth. And we've now spoken about those little mini holidays as well in between it. But I remember also with Emmy when she was born. So with Oscar, again, my active birth process took something like 45 minutes to 60 minutes, which is exceptionally long. I now know, because with Emmy, I think maybe the road was also tarred by then, but it was literally, I'm telling you, 3 pushes, if even. I pushed her once. And it was the second time, and I almost want to say the second time already, I was pulling her out myself it was so magical. It sounds odd when you say it, but it was one of the most beautiful things. And I remember my doctor like saying, she's there, do you want to pull her out? And I'm like, hell yeah. And it was just beautiful. And it was a very beautiful experience for me to pull her out, put her on my chest. And I mean, I'm getting teary just thinking about it. It was so beautiful. But now that's also something I feel that needs a little bit of conversation, and why I quickly segue to that. Because again, you can go listen to the previous podcast if you want to talk a little bit more, know a little bit more about the birthing process. But just after labor, I feel also is something to talk about. What is your experience? What do you feel is necessary just after birth? Because that's also very different when we're talking here about natural vaginal birth and talking about a cesarean.
Yeah, definitely completely different between the two, because with a C-section, you sit with recovery. And you're directly after birth, you are on pain meds and you're not completely focused. That's where you need a little bit more support, specifically to get things like breastfeeding started directly after the procedure. But even if we just look at vaginal birth, depending on the care provider that you choose and the facility that you birth with, the moment immediately after birth can look completely different. No. In the hospital system, things works at a little bit of a higher pace time-wise. So directly after birth, normally when baby pops out, it's the busiest time of birth in the room, because you normally have the doctor there, you've got a nurse or two there that's assisting, and then it's you and husband, and then maybe a doula as well. So there's a lot of things happening. Directly after birth, they need to check that baby is perfectly fine, that they're coping well, being out of your body. There's the cord being cut, there's checks being done, there is vigorous drying of the baby before they get handed to you, folded like a burrito and handed to you. And then there's this huge explosion of busyness, and then all of a sudden everyone leaves the room, and then it's like, okay, now I've got a baby, now what now?
Yes.
But then there's also more relaxed, slower paced birthing environments. For instance, if you chose to go with a private midwife option, either in hospital or in a birthing center or at home, they tend to work a little bit slower because they've got a smaller workload. They only focus on one mom at a time, whereas the hospital has to focus on all the moms that's in labor ward. And therefore, they take it slower. So when baby is born, they will check if baby is fine, but then leave the space a little bit to allow mom and dad to do the ugly cry while they're holding the baby, while the placenta and the umbilical cord and everything is still attached. And then eventually, after delayed cord pulsation, they would cut and clamp and they would do skin to skin. So it's a slower paced easing into life kind of thing.
Even that, like I feel like, and I had both my children, and you're now talking about the difference, and I had both my children in a hospital with a gynecologist, and I feel as a mom, if you know that there is a difference, you can demand a difference. I feel like mine was a little bit, I told my doctor that I immediately want my baby. I want skin to skin. And I want to have that. I don't want to miss on that opportunity. And I want to breastfeed as soon as possible. I very clearly told them beforehand. I told them that. And I was given that. I do feel like, again, the pushing out of the placenta and all those things have to happen very quickly afterwards. But I do feel that there was a combination of the things, that it wasn't the whole time. I do feel my doctor considered the things, the requests that I made. And it wasn't, I don't feel it was so fast paced. I do feel I had the opportunity to have my child. But again, if you're having a cesarean birth, I don't know if you have that ability, because obviously they have to clean you out and take care of your baby. And there's a lot more things. And I mean, you're a little bit drugged up then as well.
Yeah, the thing about a C-section is the quick thing is the birth. So immediately in the beginning of the procedure, baby's out. So you often hear your baby crying way earlier than you thought.
Yeah.
What takes long is putting everything back together again.
Yeah.
And generally in theater, they don't want to do skin to skin with baby because it's very cold in theater and we don't want baby to lose heat. So generally mom and baby would then only be able to do skin to skin once in recovery. Yeah. But there's ways around it. If you can get dad to do skin to skin with baby, then there's also a bit of a slower transition. So dad has immediate access to the baby and he can go with baby to recovery while they're finishing up with mom and do skin to skin.
I never even thought about that. And I mean, that's also, in all honesty, also one of the things I made the mistake with is because no one I knew when I gave birth to Oscar had a vaginal birth. I was like setting the stage for something apparently. And everyone had cesarean. So I had lots of the things I thought would happen afterwards was based on. So I thought I was going to be in hospital for 3 days. I thought I wouldn't have my baby with me afterwards because I don't know. That's what people told me. And I thought that's the standard of what's happening. But when you had a cesarean birth, you obviously can't walk immediately, you and all those things. So you're in recovery a lot longer and often they take your baby away from you. I didn't have that. I was actually like, why are they not taking my baby?
What am I going to do with my baby the whole night?
No, I don't know what to do. But more on this, or we're going to have to finish though. See, we're going to have part 3 now, Anina.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show is almost coming to an end again. And this was already part 2 of preparing for birth. And so like I'm like talking about what a blip birthing is. And I've realized, oh, yeah, this blip is taking a while to cover because there's lots of things to talk about. My guest today was again doula Anina Pretorius. If you've missed it, don't worry. This is a 2-part series. We're going to have like a 3-part series, apparently, on talking about preparing for birth. And we were just now finishing, and that might be the finishing of it, where we were talking a little bit about, I mean, first of all, the difference between the different births, cesarean, and especially afterwards as well. I mean, during, obviously, there's an obvious difference between vaginal and cesarean birth. And we're not even talking here if it's like an emergency cesarean and things like that. But it is a very different. But I mean, for me, Anina, also, I feel something that no one told me afterwards as well. Again, like I said, you're only normally 2 days in the hospital when it's a vaginal birth. That I didn't know because you can immediately walk around after. I mean, in all honesty, I was on such a high after the birth. It was amazing. I had all this energy. My what do you call it? Instantly was away my heartburn, which was with both my children, like the pain of my existence at the end of the pregnancy. And that was instantly away. So I was like, and this a beautiful thing. But also often, and I mean, Anina mentioned a little bit about it earlier as well, is that when they close you up with the cesarean, often they would clean out a little bit as well. So the discharge afterwards, I feel, is a lot less. Whereas when you give vaginal birth, I mean, I think it's the same with cesarean. That's also not. You put your dignity in a little suitcase beforehand and you take it about 6 weeks after. You're allowed to take half your dignity out of a little suitcase. The amount of blood that comes out of you is shocking. There's a reason why you have to have liners available, because it is gross.
You must remember that is 9 months of period that's coming out that's filled up. So you've had the credits already. Now it's just all emptying in 6 weeks.
And I mean, it's very gross and it's overshare. I know it is. And I'm sorry to do this. But in the same breath, I don't feel we talk about this enough, is how it is really hectic after. And I mean, I'm saying this not only to gross you out a little bit, but also to say, well done. If you've given a baby a birth, I mean, it is really impressive what the mom can do and what we go through. And I'm not even talking about if you had to get cut afterwards. I really even couldn't look at it properly afterwards. So it's swollen. It's a little bit tender down there. And I don't think these are the things that are spoken about. But see, again, a whole nother conversation of what happens to your body 6 weeks after labor. a follow-up on this series. Anina, it's been absolutely wonderful to have
you. It's been a joy. Thank you very much.
Yes. Please do just let people know. I think you shared it already. So if you missed it, you can actually get it. But where can people reach you?
You can phone me or send me a WhatsApp on 082-335-6336. Or you can email me at the.birth.ripple@gmail.com. You're welcome to get in contact with me if you've got any questions.
Ah, fantastic. Thank you so much, Anina. It was, as always, wonderful to have you. And again, I'm tempted every time I speak to you that I just want to have that, a doula while I'm giving birth. But thank you so much for joining me. It was really great
having
you.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.